Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sweeney, he's brought to you by New York Community Bank and the NYCB Family of Banks, online at mynycb.com. By your locally owned and operated Papa John's, the official pizza of the New York Yankees. By Adorama, the official electronic retailer of the Yankee Radio Network. By Interstate Batteries, every battery, every need. And by Carrier, turn to the experts. Does a great job covering the Yankees. Sweeney, how are you? Happy 4th of July.
Oh, thank you, Joe. How are you? Happy 4th.
I'm good. I'll be better tomorrow, but because I won't be working. But, you know, I'll be on it. I'll be on the golf course tomorrow at somewhere.
Wow. These extra couple hours this week are killing you, aren't they?
No, not really. Not really, okay. Sweeney. But, you know, I got to, what the hell, you know, at this point. You know, by the way, I want to ask you this question before we get to the Yankees, because I'm very upset by this. Okay. You know, maybe it's because the Mets are the team that's involved. But isn't it ridiculous that the Mets have to play on 4th of July, that they're playing in another country? Isn't there something wrong with that? No, I'm serious. I mean, that bothers me, Sweeney.
I think the Yankees have had that happen to them too. Don't worry. I think we've been in Toronto on 4th of July. I mean, listen, somebody you want them to their Blue Jays to be on the road every
yes.
year.
So yes,
somebody's going to complain.
Yes, but who's going to complain about the Blue Jays being on the road when it's they have Canada Day, which I think is the first, right?
Well, I'm saying like somebody whoever plays in Toronto is going to complain. So you want everybody to you want the Blue Jays to always be
yes.
on the road
on the 4th of July. Correct? Is there anything wrong with that?
Here's where it might present an issue. Okay,
go ahead.
July 1st is Canada Day.
Yes, I understand
that. So what if you're telling me that every year you have to schedule a series such that it doesn't go July. You can't have a four game series July 1st to the 4th. You're telling them they always have to be home on July 1st, but away on July 4th.
Yes.
I don't even know if they're always home on July 1st. This is the better question. Okay.
Good.
If the Blue Jays are always home on July 1st, then it should be fair. But I don't know that they always make them home on July 1st. So that's something you have to find out. Now, if you can make that happen, if the Blue Jays would complain, listen, Canada Day, sometimes we're on the road. We should be in New York or Tampa or someplace. Then you have an issue. But if this is your one big – I'm going to give you one get-out-of-jail-free card, one free pass to tell the schedule maker, this is what I want to have happen. That's what you're going to go with. That's going to be your one gripe. I'm going to give you only one gripe to the schedule maker. And you're going to say, oh, bro, listen, the Mets can't be in Canada on 4th of July. Because the Mets only play in Toronto once every couple of years anyway. When was the last time you were even in Toronto?
Yeah, no, I can't even remember.
This is your biggest gripe. Seriously, I'm going to give you one gripe to the schedule maker. Can you complain about something else?
All right, well, it hit me. I guess, like I said, only because the Mets are there. So, like, I'm kind of bothered by the Mets having to play in Canada on 4th of July.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're going to be bothered by no matter where the Mets play because
they stink.
You know, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just that the fact that the Mets play bothers you.
Yeah, well, right now, with only 81 games to go, that's fair. While we're on the Mets, let's talk about this one because, you know, you're the Yankee guy. All right. Let's say that the Mets, that the DeGrom trade was possible. Okay, let's say, because I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what the Mets are thinking. Okay? And they would make the deal with the Yankees. All right? I want to, and the Yankees are ready to do it, and I think they would. I think the Yankees would make the trade. I don't know if the Mets would, but I think the Yankees would. And even though I don't want to trade DeGrom, in the right deal, I probably would have to do it. So I want to ask you, okay, what do you think would be a fair trade from the Yankees for, mm-hmm. for DeGrom?
Fair trade. Okay. Here's to make it a fair trade, I have to go with something that the Yankee fans are probably going to object to.
Right, of course.
In some form or fashion.
Right.
I can't have a deal. If the Yankee fans say, yeah, no problem, then it's a bad trade.
Right.
First of all, and let me start by saying I don't think this is going to happen at all. I don't think the Yankees.
You don't think there's going to be any trade with
these guys? Ryan Cashman told you that he was. You know, I've talked to Omar Minaya. I've made a deal with this guy and that guy. He's trying to grease the skids a little bit because you know he obviously would love DeGrom, but I don't think the Mets would ever send him there. Okay. So let's
okay.
Get that
no,
out
I think way. I do. I look. I think that it's more on the Mets not wanting to do it than it would be Cashman. I agree with that.
I think so. So.
Okay.
Here's the deal I threw out there the other day because, I mean, I got some ridiculous proposal. I don't even remember what it was. The deal I threw out there the other day, Clint Frazier.
Right.
Miguel Andujar.
Yep.
Justice Sheffield.
Right.
And I don't know if Albert Abreu is the pitcher, but maybe some other pitcher of that.
I don't know if I'd want another pitcher. I would want another. I think I'd rather have another position player because I got pitchers.
I don't think that's the way a team trading a pitcher like that would think.
You don't think so?
I think a team trading a pitcher like that would love to have two arms back. You know, you have to have the ability to try to replace.
Let me tell you right now, Sween, that I would. I don't want to trade DeGrom. I would do that trade. If you're giving me, I got to have, I know, look, I wouldn't even ask for Torres because to me he's untouchable. I wouldn't even ask.
Yeah.
But
but
I got to have Andujar.
Yeah, I'm not telling you I would offer Andujar because I don't.
No, but from the Met point of view, I got to have him, right? I got to have him from the Met point of view.
Because the deal can't be made by saying, oh, take Brandon Drury.
No.
He has no value as a guy who's going to be into arbitration years.
No value.
He's already a couple of years in.
Right.
He does not have
right.
the value that
right.
the Mets crave for a guy like that.
I would take Drury with Andujar and Frazier. I would take that. But it's got to have Andujar and Frazier got to be
there. Yeah, you can't do that.
Right.
I think a fair trade would have to start with Frazier, Sheffield, and Abreu, the two pitchers. If Andujar is the one who has to get it done, then that's where you go. Again, we're all just playing make believe.
Right. I would do that trade, Sween, because I'm thinking of Ernie here. I would do that trade, and to me, those two guys have to be there. Andujar and Frazier are
would
a
Ernie
must.
Do that trade?
I think Ernie might do that
is he
trade.
Listening? Is he taking
I don't
a break?
Know where he
taking
is. I don't know. I'll ask him when he comes back. I don't know. I don't know where he is.
Finally, produced show. He's.
But you do think Cashman would do it, and the Mets just wouldn't do it.
I think when he's talking about all the deals he's made with the Mets, and that he just spoke with Omar Minaya, I think he's telling you, listen, this isn't anything about me. I would love to have Jacob DeGrom. He can't come out and say that.
Right.
He can't come out and say, I would love to have Jacob DeGrom. He's telling you his willingness to deal with the Mets is what he's telling you.
Right.
I think if you read between the lines, he's telling you, are you kidding me? I would love to try to trade for Jacob DeGrom. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I really don't want to trade DeGrom, but if it was going to happen, now those two guys, like you said, Andujar and Frazier have to be in the trade for me. That's for me. Those two guys got to be there. No doubt.
Yeah.
I need two guys that I can put immediately into my lineup. Two young
and
guys.
And I think a team that's trading a pitcher like that would always want pitching back. And listen, because that cost is pretty – I don't think the Yankees would do that deal, to be honest with you. I think it hurts too much.
Right,
I don't
right,
think
okay.
they would be willing – I don't think they'd be willing to move Frazier and Andujar in the same deal, even if it meant DeGrom.
Right.
But that's – you know, I gave you that package to illustrate really how much it would have to hurt in order to make a deal like that. You know, you have to give up something that hurts. So,
right.
I don't think that they would ever – attempt to deal. I don't think they're and again, Torres and Andujar to me are the same guy right now. They're both starting players on a big league championship contending team.
Yep,
they are not
yep.
prospects to deal.
Right. I understand. Well, when I look at the Yankees, and tell me if you agree with this, okay? There's and Ernie threw in Sanchez as well, and he, you know, I don't disagree with what Ernie says about him, but there's so many Yankee fans that are down on Sanchez, but whatever, which is
absurd. Yeah, I mean, he's not going anywhere.
Right.
No.
But to me, there's four guys to me. And if you want to throw Andujar in there, too, I guess you can. But there's four guys to me that forget it. Don't even forget about it. And that's Aaron Judge, and that's Torres, Sanchez, and Severino. That forget
yeah.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shot. Don't even bother, right?
And, Joe, that was the case 2 years ago when the White Sox were dealing Chris Sale. The reason the Yankees didn't outbid Boston for Chris Sale is because they wouldn't give up any of those guys. Those are the types of guys that were being asked for. The Yankees had already gotten Torres in the Cubs deal.
Right.
The White Sox were asking for him. They wanted Severino, and Yankee fans were down on Severino at the time because he had flopped after being in the rotation early in the year.
Right, right.
So those multiple combinations of these guys, some sort of combination of Frazier, Torres, Severino, these are the guys that the White Sox were asking for sale. The Yankees quickly said no, and I think they're in a really good spot for that.
Do you see the Yankees? And I don't see them making a big, I don't see a Bumgarner or DeGrom going to them, but I got to believe they're going to make a move for a pitcher. Would it be Fulmer? Would it be Happ? Would it be Hamels? That ilk of guy, right, Swain?
Yeah, I think they've been telling you all along, in some ways subtle, some ways not, that they're looking for a pitcher. You talk to people really since the spring, inside the organization and outside the organization, they all say the Yankees are going to go get a pitcher before the deadline. They're going to need, whether it was the durability issues with Sabathia or Tanaka, or any other questions you had with, say, Montgomery at the time, or Gray. Everything behind Severino had at least a little bit of a question mark. So that's where the people from the outside and even inside the organization said, probably short a pitcher. As the season plays out and the Yankees are playing, winning two out of every three to this point, halfway through the year, there's still a team that looks like they're a pitcher short in everybody's estimation. So when, talking to people all over the league, And inside the Yankees as well, it just seems a foregone conclusion that they're going to need a starter here. So, and I think that's where, when I watched the series over the weekend, this is the great advantage the Yankees have over the Red Sox, is that, when these guys play again August 2nd to the 5th, after the deadline, the Yankees are going to be able to bring in a body here that is probably going to pitch there. And they had the ability to probably not pitch Sonny Gray in a series like that, okay, or a postseason.
Right,
the Red Sox
right.
don't have that ability with David Price. They're in too deep with that. They're in too deep with that contract and
can
you know,
they really? Can I,
and everything
ask you,
else.
I want to stop you.
That's not a guy that you can skip. I mean, maybe if you feel like you have enough depth in a series like that, let's say, to move it around, but you're not just blowing him out of there. And I think that's the one advantage. I think the Yankees can maneuver around a little bit, and I don't think the Red Sox have quite the ability because of the type of pitcher.
So you think
they
really
commitment to him?
So you think if the Yankees play the Red Sox in a playoff series, if I'm the Red Sox, how can I pitch David Price against them? But you think that there's no way that they'd have to? That's what you're saying.
I think he is part of their rotation, and I don't think that's changing.
Right,
I can't say the same, down the road. I can't say, Sonny Gray's going to start next time. I'm not saying he's out of the rotation, but I'm saying as you get further along, I can't guarantee you that Sonny Gray is a part of that. And I'm almost quite certain that David Price is.
Mm. Talking to Sweeney about the Yankees, Greg Bird, a lot of Yankee fans are down on him. And say, well, why is he playing? Maybe Drury should start playing first base, whatever the case may be. They're pretty much, it seems to me, they're totally committed to this guy, and they can afford to be committed to him right now because of how good they are. But how about Bird? I mean, is there any way that they would, do you see any sign that they would say, you know what, he's not getting it done. If he doesn't start hitting, we got to sit him down. Do you see that?
I can't say no. I mean, I would think that's got to be a consideration at some point. I don't think they're going to say that until they're not going to put that out there until they do it. I mean, part of the game is confidence.
Right.
His gaining confidence and showing confidence in him, putting him in the lineup. I mean, the minute you say, yeah, well, we might sit him down, that's not going to happen. That. But I do think that there's going to come a point here where they'll consider some sort of platoon. I can't say they wouldn't send him to the minors or something like that. I mean, there's only so far you can go. But they have a very long and deep belief in his talent, and they are giving him a lot of rope with it. It feels longer because you say, well, it's July, but he's only been playing for a month. So this is like another guy who's been slumping, first week in May. And you think about it in those terms, you're going to get a longer leash. You're right. They can afford to to do it right now because they are winning games. And that's, you know, that'll play a part of it as well. So I think it just goes down to a long-held belief in his talent and the reasons behind his struggles the last couple of years were injury-related. He had to deal with an injury and a surgery this year, and they're just waiting for him to start snapping out of it. I think the two-homer game of the night, I thought they felt maybe, you know, that get him going a little bit. He had to sit the next day against Sale. But there's, you know, there's no, you know, and then he played, you know, I can't tell you how it's going to get going. I just tell you that everybody who's been around this guy for a very long time in this organization has a long-held belief in his talent, and they are committed to it.
Is there any chance that Frazier, and he got a lot of calls on this too, that Frazier winds up, you know, let's say that Frazier, there's no trade goes down, because I got to believe, even if they get, you know, a Jay Happ or something, I think Frazier would have to be part of it. Am I wrong about that or no?
I don't think he would, you know, for, you know, Happ is a rental, you know. I don't think Frazier is going to be part of a rental deal like that.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I think Frazier is, you know, there are, every team has a couple of guys probably at AAA. The Yankees seem to have more of them this year.
They got like a major league team there.
That, you know, under any normal circumstances would be on a big league roster.
Right.
The Yankees have, you know, I was talking to Andy Martino the other day. We were talking, you know, over at SNY, and we were talking about this. It's like, you know, usually the problem solves itself. You know, somebody gets hurt or something happens, and you say, well, what are they going to do when this happens? Well, the other guy ends up getting hurt, and the problem is solved. That didn't happen this time.
Right,
so,
right.
The Yankees have healthy players. So it's created a little bit of a logjam. I think what Frazier's ideal place right now is he is either a key piece to get a big pitcher, or he is the guy who's going to replace Brett Gardner next year when Gardner's option comes up. And he is a much more affordable replacement and looks ready to play in the big leagues. I think that's where he has two main functions right now, is potential chip, which I don't think they want to use him as one.
Right.
Because the other side of that is he can be the guy who slides into left field next year.
Right. All right. So when all is said and done at the trade deadline, who do you see them wind up? Who do you think they're going to wind up with?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think it's funny because I heard somebody mention the matchup Happ against the Astros, let's say, is not a great matchup. But Happ against the Red Sox is a really good matchup. And if you're going to have three series against them in the second half and you have the ability to pitch them there, that, you know, that could be the difference. You know, there's such a difference, obviously, this year between winning the division and winning the wild card.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And listen, it could go to a tiebreaker. I joked about wanting to see Sonny Gray against David Price in the game once.
That's what it would be. Probably would be that, too. You know, it's not even funny. You're probably right.
I wonder how they play it because, you know, you want to put some level of, you know, into playing that game, but you also have to hold somebody back in case you lose that game. So we're obviously a long way away from getting there, but, you know, I would sometimes we like to root for chaos, don't we?
I'm big on chaos.
Listen, wouldn't chaos be Houston and Seattle tied, Red Sox and Yankees tied?
Yes.
And they have to play two game 163s to see who wins the division and who wins the wild card. And the loser of that game then goes into their own sudden death, you know, play a wild card game. So that to me, and they're all 95-plus win teams. That to me is, you know, kind of the chaotic formula that we might be looking at in a couple of months.
All right, well, let me ask you, do you see any separation between the Yankees and the Red Sox? I mean, do you see, like when we get to that last, I think the last series they play is in Fenway at the end of September. Mm-hmm. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Do you see that series basically determining who's winning the division?
I would think it would have to go down that way. I mean, what's separating them now? I mean, the Yankees won the season series, or lead the season series.
Yeah, 5-4. Right.
Okay. So,
but you can't see either team going on any kind of tailspin that the other one kind of takes control.
I mean, you can't foresee that. I mean, if something happened, you know, before the series last week, I was talking to a bunch of staff in Philadelphia and saying, are these two teams line up? And you say, okay, well, they're both really good. We know that.
Right.
But like, look at, all right, who's the best player on the field? Okay, line them up this way. You know, I think you say maybe Mookie Betts, best player on
maybe,
the field.
Maybe.
The hottest hitter was J.D. Martinez.
Right.
So, Yankees won 2 out of 3. So, I mean, those kinds of things don't seem to matter.
I don't think Judge is too far away from being the best player on the field.
Not too far. You're right. But I look at them as so evenly matched, it's hard not to think it's going to come down to the end. You know, the Yankees wanted another starter, the Red Sox might want another reliever. You know, and if you look at, you know, close games or tight games, you look at the bullpen, there's a Yankees advantage.
Oh, huge advantage for the Yankees, no doubt about it.
I don't know how to separate these two teams because they are both so good and will win a ton of games. I mean, how do you say one's going to be in front of the other before you get to that last weekend?
Yeah, no. Talking to Sweeney, about the Yankees as they get ready to play game 2 of their series with the Braves. I'll tell you right now, I'm watching the game last night, and look, I know this already. I've seen them beat up the Mets all year. I mean, it's unbelievable how good the Braves have gotten so fast. It really.
Yeah, you know, listen, you're right. You're perfect because you've probably watched them a lot. I haven't.
Oh, yet. Man. I've seen them beat the Mets all year. Are you kidding?
I've watched last night, and I was just amazed at all the talent on the field.
Amazing.
And how young it is for both teams. I mean, to me, it was an exciting game because it was a close game. It's, you know, it slogged a little, I guess, but I think it was an exciting game for all the talents on the field. Close game, one pitch here or there. There are, of the 18 players in the starting lineups last night, 15 of them were under 30.
Mm.
And
wow.
So you could sit there and see, I mean, we remember, 20 years ago, the Yankees and the Braves were the best team in each league for years at a time and playing the World Series twice and, you know, trying to figure out who's more dominant, this and that. You could foresee this as a potential World Series matchup, not just this year, maybe some other year. There's a lot of young talent on the field, and it was on display last night. I mean, you've got Torres getting a bunch of hits.
Yep.
You've got Acuna hitting the game-winning home run,
that
earlier hit. You know, it's fun to see that, you know, and this isn't the 30-something, the 35-something sluggers. Just for fun, I looked up Game 4 of the 99 World Series. Last game those guys played, you know, those two teams played against each other. They played some interleague later on.
Right, well, of course.
That World Series, only 6 players of the 18 were under 30 at that point in the starting lineup. So, I mean, you know, it's fun to – I always say it's kind of fun to dream on players when you don't have the – you know, the expected line. When, you know, when you had Giambis and A-Rods and guys like that, you said, okay, he better hit 40, he better hit 50, blah, blah, blah. When you can dream on young players and don't really know what their ceiling is, that's so much fun to watch. That's what has been the most fun about watching the Yankees grow the last couple of years. And I can see it with the Braves too. I mean, I'm really hoping for a couple of more fun games here because these are two really talented teams.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I want to get to Severino for a second. He's 13-2. He's got an ERA now under 2. I think he's the leader for the Cy Young. And I'll tell you right now, if somehow he goes on and wins 25, 26 games, which I understand we devalue to win now, but if he goes out and goes 26-3 or 26-4 or something like that, and he's got an ERA under 2 for a team that's certainly making the playoffs, whether they win the division or they're the wild card team, I got to look at Severino as a possible MVP candidate. Am I nuts saying that, Sween?
I don't know. I think there's a lot that goes into MVP when you're talking about a starting pitcher. I mean, we've obviously had some.
Right. Well, Verlander recently with the Tigers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you have to get deeper into this season to really put that in there. I think you're right about obviously one of the top Cy Young candidates.
Oh, no doubt.
Third last year. He's right there. He's having a you know better year than Sale and Kluber already this year. He's halfway through the season. He's on a Guidry pace. You know,
yep. I mean, exactly right.
Guidry's 25-3.
Yep.
Severino's can be on that pace. 1.74 ERA. You know, a little bit different environment. I think you know you can obviously compare them both and say both really good numbers. He's ahead of the pace of Guidry's strikeout total, which is 248. That's the Yankees team record for one season. Severino.
It's also a little inflated. The strikeouts, though, now are a little inflated from then, from 1978.
Yeah, Sure, but, I mean, you're not talking – I mean, you're talking about a guy who's throwing 99 and 100 in the seventh inning.
Yeah, you know, no, he's tremendous. There's no doubt.
It's hard to inflate his numbers.
I get it. So, I understand.
And so I feel like he is on the pace to have a season, which we can put next to Ron Guidry, but he's obviously only halfway through the race.
Right, right. Sween, great stuff. It is always a pleasure.
It's always fun talking to you, buddy.
You have a stellar – see, the Yankees are doing it right tomorrow. 4th of July afternoon game. I mean, come on.
There we go. Uh-huh.
You know, not playing in another country at night. Afternoon game, 4th of July, which is what it should be. You really should.
I'm ready, man. I like it. We've been on the road a few times. And I think it varies. There are some years where we're on the road for – Memorial Day, 4th of July,
right.
And Labor Day, and then
right.
Some years where you end up being home for all of them. I'm okay with being home on the 4th of July. Go, you know, nice ball game, and then everybody go home and have a good night. Watch
Beautiful.
The fireworks.
Exactly right. Sween, happy 4th. Have a great day, all right, man? Good talking to you.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
All right, man. Sweeney Murdy with the Yankees.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.